Frozen Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience. Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, aka Josiah, aka Mahler67. And with me, as always, you know I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty okay myself. I'm like a weird influx of tired, but not really tired, but kind of tired. I stayed up way too late on Friday morning, man. I really did.
I get you. I feel the same way actually right now.
Yeah, and I just, since then I've just been inconsistently sleeping or being up for that whole time. So,
yep.
What can you do, man? What can you do? Gotta enjoy it. Yeah. I want to ask, how was your weekend, man? Anything cool or interesting?
Yeah, so I went to the Tenacious D concert in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they were doing that.
It was a lot of fun. I had a blast with my buddy. Mm-hmm. And we stayed up until like 2:30 in the morning playing Lego Star Wars. And we ended up like finally passing out, realizing that we had to get up at 8 o'clock to put the brisket on to smoke it.
Mm.
And so we got up at 8:30 and put the brisket on at 9. And so we're like, okay, it should be done by like 6. He didn't take an account, and I forgot to tell him that he should trim some fat off of it, because if you don't, it takes a long time to cook and it doesn't render properly. So a, you know, like a 12-hour cook turned into not being done until 2:30 a.m. Like Sunday morning. And then I had to wake up early this morning and get home because I had to go to work. So, because there was an emergency at my work, and they're like, oh yeah, but overall, I'm pretty tired. Like I had a fun weekend, but I am certainly going to be sleeping in my bed tonight and getting a lot of it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's good to hear, Austin. I don't know, man. I don't really know what to say, because like my brain's like small talk, but my brain is also like, I just kind of chilled in my house and played games. I have been, I forgot that I had Xbox Pass or whatever that's called. Mm. One Pass, Fast Pass, whatever you want. And so I was looking through their game repertoire, and there was a couple games on there that I'm like, I just wanted to play that game, so I'll download it. So I downloaded Psychonauts 2, Donut Country, and Age of Empires 4. Because those are all free on the Microsoft Store.
Hmm.
And so I've been trying my hand at those different ones. I like Psychonauts. It's really fun. Unfortunately, because it's not the Steam version, the automatic controller support is not functional on the Xbox unless you have an Xbox controller. And my controller is kind of bugging out on me a little bit, so I can't use my Xbox One.
Ooh.
And so I've been using just mouse and keyboard, and it's been pretty good. I enjoy it. I like the humor of Psychonauts a lot, so that's no issue. I also played Civilization, or not Civilization, Age of Empires 4. Took me a little bit to get used to it. I kept getting steamrolled by intermediate PCs until I finally got the grips of like, okay, the special units aren't massively overpowered like they were in number 2. So you have to actually have a wide mix of your units, especially since now the units have very simple spear beats, horse beats, melee beats, bow and vice, like stuff like that, and range beats everything unless you get close to it. Once I got that figured out, it became a lot easier. I still don't feel comfortable enough. I do like how some of the classes play now. I think it really, well, the different nations really change up how the gameplay is, and I think that's pretty good in my opinion. My favorite concept is the Mongolian clan, how it's like all their buildings can be packed up and moved around as they see fit. They don't have to stay in any one place, and they have max civilization from the get-go, and all you do is collect resources, move around, and murder people, and that's awesome. Like, that's a cool, interesting playstyle. Other than that, yeah, I've just been playing those, playing Final Fantasy, and then today I did D&D. I did, well, it's not really D&D. We're playing this tabletop called Roots. Roots is originally a board game, and then they made a tabletop version, like a RPG, TTRPG of it, and we are playing the TTRPG. And we all made our characters and whatnot, so we haven't really started going. I'm playing a mole called Lysona. Or Lysona. Or Lysona. Lysona Brightcave. And I am a mole who got separated from his family because he wandered off too far. And he is searching for them because he's a mole. No sight or whatnot. It's not going to be the easiest thing in the world, but a lot of the character, a lot of the people like the character concept that I came up with, and I'm excited to play them because I'm going to play them as a real cinnamon roll, I'm a nice guy type deal thing. I just want to find my family and get back there, but I'm really good at exploring. But yeah, I mean, that's what I did today. I'm kind of tired from it, so I'll be honest. I'm coming with as much energy as I can today because we're starting this podcast later than normal because you were busy. You have like weird sporadic work schedule. I get it. I'm there too. Yeah. Who knows, maybe in the future we'll be able to actually set in a consistent schedule at some point in our life.
Yeah, hopefully.
But speaking about sporadicness and a weird schedule, Austin, this week, we're talking about a show that we both really like, What We Do in the Shadows Season 4. It officially concluded this week or last week?
It was 2 weeks ago,
actually. 2 weeks ago? Okay, so it concluded about 2 weeks ago. But we are going to talk about What We Do in the Shadows Season 4.
Yeah.
First thing I got to ask, Austin, what'd you think?
Oh, man. This could be a harsh opinion on some people, but... I'm going to say this. I think this is one of my favorite seasons.
Okay. I thought you were going to go the opposite way. You're like, this season sucked.
No, I enjoyed this season so much. It was a lot of fun. I know some people, I heard some people was like, it's okay. And I'm like, no, I really enjoy the storytelling that's happening this season. And it's a little ridiculous. A lot of people were upset at the season finale because they were like, I know someone that did not like the season finale because it's like, oh, well, there wasn't a lot that happened. I was like, yeah, there was. I was like, there was a lot that happened that season finale. So I was like, maybe you should rewatch that. But this season, I thoroughly enjoyed the characters. I thought some of the episodes were amazing. There's one in particular that sticks out to me, and I laugh. I've watched that episode maybe like 4 times now. It is hilarious. But yeah, overall, this is one of my favorite seasons so far of What We Do in the Shadows. And hopefully it just continues. And it just, you know, keeps being a consistently good show. you know, because sometimes comedy shows like fall off. You know, that's just how it is. Overall, so far, I haven't had a problem with this season at all. I think it's a great, great part of the collection. To the What We Do in the Shadows seasons. So yeah. So what did you think of it?
Yeah, I liked the season a lot. I enjoyed the overall theme. I'm a big fan of the guide. So I liked how she was basically from this point on part of the group. She's like a member now. And I just enjoy her kind of like her attitude towards a lot of stuff. I did also find it funny there was the one point in the episode where they talk about like the different human acts they tried to get to come for vampires and they all kind of failed, and the one joke was like, we did the improv group, but like improv's stupid, who does improv? And they're like, yeah, who does improv? I'm pretty sure that woman was did work on improv scene back in the day. So little bit of the tongue-in-cheek funniness that I enjoyed that a lot. I enjoyed the I enjoyed the pace of this season. I like it whenever shows have like one-off episodes where you can easily watch each episode and not feel like you have to watch all of them in a row. Which I will say a little bit of the last season was that way, where I felt like you had to watch the whole every episode. But this season I felt like, yeah, you could watch them everywhere. There's a background story going on, but each one is their own individual episode. Made me happy. It also had a return of a character that I wasn't expecting, and I liked it, and I was like, okay, that was a good return. Like, they kind of caught me surprised because I totally forgot about that character. So yeah, no, I enjoy the smell of it. I think one thing I want to talk about is I want to get your feels on about Nandor's whole story this season.
Ooh.
It was a little weird because it was just him like with a djinn.
Yeah. A djinn.
And him like making all these stupid wishes. I love the fact that they basically gave him infinite wishes, or that we know of infinite wishes. Yeah. Because he was wasting a bunch of those. And half of the fun with his wishes was realizing how badly he messed up wishes. And I liked it and I found it funny.
Well, that and like, what was it? Wasn't it like 52 wishes left when Guillermo asked?
It was way more wishes than I thought there would be. I thought there was only going to be like 3.
Yeah.
But.
Because he was like, how many wishes does he get? And he's like, you would have to wish to ask that. He's like, I wish to know how many wishes. He's like, 52. He's like, no, you wasted a wish on that. So... Oh, man.
I like the whole episode when they first met him and they start coming up with all the different, like the lawyering between them and the djinn about like him getting his size increased. It's like, you can't make everyone else's sizes smaller to make his biggest. Yep. And he's just like, ooh, smart. You guys got me there. Smart on this one.
Oh, this is it.
I did also like that in the end. He's just like, he wasn't all that like small to begin with. Like, he was a pretty normal size, so it was pretty easy just to give him what he wanted and be done with it. But now he's impotent. Didn't think about that one, did you, buddy? Get a hold of a sponsor.
And like, some of his wishes got a little out of hand. You know, like the episode where they're trying to put Colin in like a boarding school, and he like wishes himself like the wrinkles to be gone.
Yeah, he's like, I want my wrinkles to be gone.
And he ends up like just being like this the whole time.
Yeah, like he couldn't get his like his eyes were just super squinty. He couldn't really see because it just basically stretched out all of his stuff, which was. Mm-hmm. Which was funny. I just enjoyed the fact that after a certain point, he started just staring in the wrong direction. He's like, I am Matthew, the gardener, or the landkeeper. I like that.
We got to see the Baron again.
Yeah, that was a nice one that I liked seeing. And
now he's completely back to normal now, because of Nandor. Like, Nausea kind of like... Was it Nausea, or was it... Was it his wife? I forget who did it, but like, they like kind of convinced him to like make like use wishes, and he ends up using all of his wishes up to like finish off the wedding thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of nice. You know, but
it was, I think it was like maybe it was Guillermo. I forget who it was. I just know Guillermo was like pointing out to him that he has wishes and he's sabotaging his own way and everything that's... I did find it funny that at the wedding, everyone was just standing up to, like, voice why they can't do it and why they can't, like, I can't the allow guy this.
Shined. The guy shined so much in that scene where she was just like, the first time I met the man, I fell in love.
I always loved him. And because of that... deep passion we had, that deep one-sided passion we had, I cannot be full on this. And then she stands back up. When I first met Marwa.
Which was like a couple days ago.
I fell deeply in love. Yeah. I like her like comedy, her style. Speaking of her, I really liked the episode of the night. Is it the night market episode? They have to go to the night market. That was all fun and all great. But I just love the wraiths and how they're just like they're basically wing wraiths from Lord of the Rings, except you can't really understand them. And I just love the scene where Naja gives the lavender stuff to the Wraith. And then he goes and tries to convince him, like, guys, it's not so bad. Let's do it. And they all just mutilate him. And then he's just like, gives her a card. And it's just like, he no longer speaks for us. In fact, he's no longer with us. He's dead. Yeah, we know. We saw it. We watched it.
That's rough.
I just really like the humor pacing that she has. I think she's very good at her pacing of things. Yeah. Her and Matthew Barry, I feel, are very perfect on their pacing of things. I'm starting to like Naja a little more, and I'm starting to like Nandor a little more. I had an issue with Nandor early on. Nothing like huge. He just wasn't one of my favorite characters because I didn't like how he treated Guillermo, and now it's like he doesn't understand how he feels, and so he can't, articulate.
Yeah.
Speaking of that night market episode, that fight scene between Guillermo and Nandor, that was pretty cool.
It was hilarious. I loved every minute of the whole night, like the fights that were going on with the familiars.
Mm-hmm.
That whole episode was a really good filler episode.
Yeah.
Like it was good. If a filler episode needs to be done, that was how you should do it. It was just perfect. I liked that episode a lot. And that fight was brilliant. I will agree.
The one thing I enjoy about what we do in the Shadows is the people who write it and everything, they're very good at making references early on or some notes of something early on, and then it pays off later in a way that you don't expect. You know, like whenever they're trying to get the blood sprinklers to work, and through the whole series, they can't get it to work, and they're like, it's so frustrating, blah, blah. And then when Naja, who I love the fact that she goes to torch the place because I knew that's what she was going to do. She torches the place only for it to be stopped by the blood sprinklers, and only her room got torched, which had all the money in it. And so she lost all that money that she got. And it was just that was like, that was one of those things. It got set up earlier and then it pays off then, and I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. I just appreciate the writing in this show. The writing is done very well, and I just would like to really point on that.
One of the good setups that I did like about this episode, this part, and I want to bring this up because like it leads into like my favorite episode of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how the house turned into this complete disaster.
Yeah.
Like the house became ravaged with raccoons and trees and all this other stuff. And there's the episode, and like how they set up the joke was like Laszlo could only get Colin Robinson's baby, well, Colin Robinson as a baby, to go to sleep if he watched this like home improvement show. Mm-hmm. Called Go Flip Yourself. I think that's what the name of the show was.
Mm-hmm.
And how they set that up, and then the episode where Go Flip Yourself shows up,
mm-hmm.
Was so well done.
Yep.
And I laughed so hard because I didn't expect to see what happened at the end of that episode. And I loved it because I'm a huge fan of the guy that shows up in this because he's consistent. Like he was in the last season, the season before, and the season then. He's been in every season. And this was a witch, the witch hat episodes. That's what I call it. And Nick Roll shows up. And when he reveals himself, I died when Laszlo was like, you directed, scripted, filmed 150 episodes and got me hooked on this show so you could get your hat back. And he's like, yes.
Yeah, I love it even more where he's just like, they don't even care. They don't pay attention. I once showed a butthole for 20 minutes straight. He's like, yes, episode 73. It's one of my favorite episodes. He's like, wow, you really do watch the show. Yeah, that actually means a lot to me. So I love that. Like, it was legitimately a great reveal because I totally forgot about the guy. And they don't make it about the hat, which is why I like that it's a hat episode. Is when you find out is that it's like, hey, there's my hat, like all this great stuff. Hey, where'd my hat go? And then once he said, hey, where'd my hat go? I just went, no way. And then he's like, it was me.
The girl the whole time.
I love the fact that once he escapes with the hat, they're just like, yeah, like the sewage isn't a thing no more. And like all that burning, that fiery furnace down below, it all stopped. Everything stopped now that that hat's gone. The hat's not cursed. It's the hat.
It's the hat. And it was so funny because like the ending credit or like the mid-season credit where he's like doing the show still. And the house ends up like blowing up again. Yeah. Like that dude always constantly gets blown up, which is great.
That's the whole joke about him.
The running gag.
It blows up and he's in a constant like.
It's good. It's my favorite episode. Like
that's another situation of like solid callback to earlier. You know, the whole flipping thing. The other big one that I knew was going to pay off and it did, and I was really happy with. Was Colin Robinson downstairs using the hammer on the wall. Like he was all about that hammer. And I was like, there's a reason for it. And then especially whenever he mentions, he's like, what's wrong with me? Why is all this stuff? Why do I have a constant voice in the back of my head telling me to hit the downstairs basement with the hammer? And I'm like, it all makes sense. Like there's something down there. And then I love the fact that he accidentally hits one and then something gets shown and he like reads it, looks into it, finds it, and then poop finds this huge document room with all of his stuff in his whole life
and he becomes Colin again
and I'm interested to see how they're going to explain that because apparently he doesn't remember him as a child. I don't know if he's lying or if that's true or not, because he still sings, he whistles the song at least. So, like, he still remembers some of that stuff. Side note about Colin. Did you catch the little hidden thing in the episode? In the episodes of Colin?
No.
No? Okay. What was Colin really into at one point when he was a child?
Wasn't Legos?
Was Legos. How did he show that he liked that?
Didn't like he start doing a YouTube video
He made a YouTube video. Yeah. And in the scene, it shows YouTube and it shows him talking. And then it shows one comment on the video. And it was Guillermo Slayer 3000 or whatever. It's like, good job, buddy. So, of course, anytime I see something like this, I'm like, I gotta see if someone made a YouTube of it. Those YouTubes really exist. And they were created over like 6 months ago, 8 months ago or so. So they were created for the show, it seems.
That's awesome.
And Colin keeps uploading small videos of like the Windows Movie Maker style quality, where it's just like, today we're talking about Legos, like explosions and stuff. He hasn't posted anything in a while. I think the last thing he posted was a video short of like a trailer for this, and then the Guillermo one also is a real account too. But it is, it has no content on it other than he has commented on some videos of Colin's. So that one definitely seems like whatever. I don't know if they're going to do anything with that YouTube channel. I would love it. Because you're a fan of JonTron. You had JonTron. Me and you liked JonTron, especially back in the day. In the one episode where he did the Star Wars episode, he has Yoda come on as a friend. He's like, yeah, I just started a YouTube channel with me and my boys called The Green Boys. Like, we do all that stuff. And it was meant as this joke, right? And instantly, everyone searched and it's a real YouTube channel called The Green Boys, and it's just JonTron with this puppet of Yoda doing different stuff. And that was the first situation of a show or movie doing something like that, that I'm like, wait, did they create a channel for this? And I love it when shows do that. Like, whenever shows actually do that, I like that. And the fact that I wouldn't call it a AAA, but I would view this as like a AAA show, TV show. It's like it's a Fox show. Doing something like that made me happy. I really enjoyed it. And the fact that it's Colin Robinson made me even more happier. I would love it if, like, next season he just starts posting a bunch of, like, historical information, or just long... I would love it if he did, like, a long series of TED Talks of just really boring or mundane things.
Oh, man.
So, what I totally thought they were going to do with Colin is that he's still an energy vampire, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to become like a technology vampire. Like, he's still fed off of people's emotions, but he would be fed through technology. And I thought he was going to become this YouTube influencer, because then he could feed on millions of people at a time. That's totally what I thought it was going to be, but... Then he just like, oh, no, I'm growing up, I'm back to normal. I'm like, okay, I'm just happy that Colin's back. I like Colin. And that's a great way to end a series, is just to have him come back at the end of the series. Because if he was going to remain a teenager or whatnot, it would have been fine, but it wouldn't have been as great as just having Colin back.
No. Yeah. But no, like, I was super stoked to see Colin come back. I liked how they played in to the whole teenage Colin thing, where the holes in the destruction and the heavy metal was a teenage thing. Like, it showed you that he was a teenager at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And like the jump that they had with the teenager, where he was like in the outfit and then he like shows up and it's like way overgrown.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed so hard. I was like, oh, he's like evolving into a teenager.
It was straight up, like, instantaneous. I did like how Colin became like the cliche children performer, you know, where it's just like, I'm a little kid, everyone loves me, people love me, and then they grow up and it's just like, boo, you suck, we hate you. I enjoyed that, especially whenever he's like went on stage and he starts singing, his voice is cracking and everything.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, they all hate me. Runs off. That was also the episode where she burns down the club.
Yep. And the blood sprinklers work fine.
Mm-hmm.
The blood sprinklers work, but it still destroys the office that has all the money.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's like the whole thing is like Nada and Guillermo was stealing money from the club. And that what was funny is that Guillermo did it smart. Like, he stole the money and took it elsewhere. She was just throwing it into a wall. And I'm like, what do you need this money for? This is stupid. This is dumb.
Yep.
And I love that at the end of the series, Colin Robinson's like, yeah, we have $600,000 in our account. He's like, what? We have that much money? He's like, yeah, what's our PIN? This is our PIN. Oh my gosh, we could do this. And he's like, yeah. Let me do it. Because nothing is more, like, it's one good thing to make manage a project so much better when you micromanage a project. I love the small little like phase they showed of him walking around telling the people how to do everything.
Oh yeah, and he was like just feeding off of everyone. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It
makes perfect sense.
That and we got a little, you know, we got something that I kind of came to conclusion a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they confirmed it this season, and that is Guillermo is in fact gay.
Yep.
You know, he officially comes out of the closet and says, hey, I'm gay. Which leads him into one of the funny episodes of this season where he meets a guy named Fred.
Yeah, Freddy.
And Freddy is Nandor starts like loving Freddy too. Mm-hmm. So he ends up like asking the djinn, because the djinn gives him like three wishes, I think with like the other lamp that he gives him
for his wedding. He gives him a small little lamp, and he's like, here you go. This is weird. It's like, wow, I can't believe it. He's just like, but there's only three wishes on that one, so use them wisely.
Yeah, so he used one to make Fred, you know,
to make Mara a carbon copy of Fred.
A Fred.
I love the fact that he said a carbon copy as well, because the second he said that, my brain's like, I know how this episode is going to end.
Yep.
And it ended exactly how I intended to, but it was a lot sadder than I thought it was.
Yeah, you know, on Guillermo's point, it was very depressing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, you know, when you find someone that you care about and you're interested in.
And not like, to mention, like, you know, he was really good to Guillermo, too. Like, he was very kind and he loved the same things Guillermo did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough, the last episode was rough. Well, the last part of that episode was really rough.
Yeah.
But
whenever he like shows up
hilarious in stuff.
England and he's like, I'm going to go visit him. I instantly went like,
yep,
he's nope, that's how Fred, this Fred. Ends. Friends, Fred, yeah. They're going like, let's be honest, man. If I swung the way that I like, if I swung the same alley as I am, and I'm a doppelganger of myself showed up, who is exactly a carbon copy, you know what would happen. And then I would have to ask the big question in the grand scheme of things, is it sex or masturbation?
It's true. What is it?
That's the biggest question since the beginning of time. But we'll have to figure that out next season of what we do in the shadows. Because I like the Fred character. I would like to see him come back in some way. Yeah.
He was good. I enjoyed Fred a lot. You know.
I would tell you to get a Roomba, but it might kill itself. I just enjoyed him.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, this season was a really good season. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, the whole episode where they're trying to get Colin into that boarding school, and they're just hypnotizing that guy.
Spamming, hypnotizing.
The whole time.
Yeah.
And then it's like switching it up, and it's like, I died laughing. I remember watching this episode. What was I doing? I was eating ramen. I was eating ramen. Mm. When they showed Nausea, and she's in that pink like outfit, and she's like, I like pizza. Just like, I remember eating noodles and I like spat it out, and I was like, oh my gosh,
best American accent.
Oh my gosh, I was like, oh, that's awful. I was like, that's great, I love it.
What I love about that whole episode was in the end when it's just like, honestly, it's kind of amazing. He had a heart attack 30 minutes after leaving the place. It's because the average human can only survive about maybe 7 hypnotizing a day. He did 58. I was like, oh my gosh.
Murder.
But you know who I give more credit to? The neighbor. He was also super hypnotized like that.
Yeah,
he survived all of it.
Yeah.
Loop. Oh, yeah, maybe we have ourselves a plot point they may dig into. Find out he's more than what he seems.
Maybe.
Maybe he's a Jersey Devil.
Or maybe. I thought about this a while ago. I'm going to try to call this. He's actually a hunter. And the reason why I say that is because he's been hypnotized multiple times. And like Guillermo brings up a point where last season when they find out that Guillermo is, you know, has Van Helsing blood, you know, they try to hypnotize him. He's like, I've been hypnotized so many times that like my brain just has gotten to the point where it just doesn't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this hunter is living next to them and doing certain things to get that like kind of thing. I think he's going to turn out to be a hunter.
I mean, it would be interesting if he turns out to be a hunter, but he doesn't hunt them because he's like, you're all incompetent. Like, why would I kill you guys when you guys kill vampires for me?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yes. I can see it. So, like, I think that would be a funny episode. And, like, I'm just going to say it because, like, I started thinking that a while ago. I was like, this guy does things. Like, he does the Super Bowl party. He did, like, the whole, he had, like, all those pillows
mm-hmm.
that he's cell. And then, you know, he was at the wedding.
He was super calm with them finding out that they're all vampires at the wedding. He was like, oh, you're a vampire too? Get the heck out of here.
He's like, because I just found out that vampires exist. Like,
yeah, I think I'm handling it pretty cool.
Yeah. And I loved that the gargoyle thing learned how to read.
I love talk. That. Yeah, he could speak. And then whenever he was having a speech, he was like, everything is existential. Nothing lasts.
Yes, forever. Death and dread become us.
I want to snippet that and like have that play.
It's so good. It's so good. And they're like, how did he learn how to talk? And the Baron's like, I actually
I taught him how.
Taught him how to read. You know, they had like all that stuff because they were in that cabin where he was just a torso and he was like, they were trying to like, they were luring them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the last episode we saw them was last season with the dog.
Yep. Whenever they, the whole episode where the Baron was in the car driving around.
Yeah. Yeah. The purple, that was like the purple Jeep.
Like the Barbie Jeep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it was the purple Jeep. It's solid. I really like this. Like, it's hard to like say that like that season sucks or that season sucks because there's always key points of the season that's really good.
I think my biggest takeaway of what we do in the show is if you like the style of writing and the humor, every episode, every season's good. It's just the matter of like which season contains your favorite episode, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we kind of did the whole Futurama special a while ago where we talked about our favorite Futurama episodes. We didn't even get to our favorites. We just talked a lot about episodes we liked. And I feel like what we do in the shadows would be the exact same boat. We could individually like keys. We could like a season because it has multiple good episodes, but every season has some like great episodes. And it's like noticeable. I think my favorite revelation that was revealed in this season was the guide finding out that her memory got wiped and she finally unlocked her memory and she found out the reason why her memory was wiped was because she slept with Val Helsing in ancient times she was also like super risque and whatnot with all the other things she did in her life, and so they punished her by cutting off her memory and then locking her into the vampire court. And I love the episode whenever it's like, you have to go and seduce her. And he's like, okay, fine, whatever. He walks in and he's like, hey, girl. He's like, Guillermo, I know you're here. And we can't, I know our love and fiery passion is so prominent, but we can't do it. Oh, shucks, that sucks. It was really funny and entertaining, especially how like she like teleports around him. I enjoy whenever they use that as like her having different like, I can do it, I can't do it, oh no, let's tear this place down, let's be friends. Like I love that. I am very happy that Kristen Schaal is now part of the, I hope she's officially a cast member. I really enjoy her. I even enjoy the Wraiths, how they kind of function as well. But I like it. I was expecting the other cast to come in at some point. I really was. I was expecting the cast from the movie to join, like kind of how they did last season.
Yeah.
I expected them to be there for the wedding or something like that, or to at least show up in some regard.
Well, what was it? There's only two people left, right?
What do you mean?
Are you talking about like the Vampire Council?
No, I'm talking about the original cast from the movie. You know, Jamie.
Well,
Jermaine.
Well, he's on the rock. Waka Tikiti is part of like the Europe Council now.
Yeah,
because they show like that video.
And that's the thing. Like Naja was on the council, so was Guillermo, and I would figure that they would come for like, you know, for some reason.
Yeah.
I was just hoping that, but
The other two are in hiding because of Guillermo killing everyone in the theater. they're the only ones that escape that theater part. That are not like the vampire TV, because they both fly away as bats, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I remember them flying away, but I thought that I thought that they would show up for this. Oh, I did also like the fact that the whole familiar thing happened because they wouldn't tell Gear, like, let Guillermo say his name. And I'm like, if he said his name, I think they would all be like, he's the one who killed all those beings, kill him, like, type deal thing.
Yeah.
I thought that's what they were going to go with, but they ended up not going with it, so. It's all fine. I thought it was great. Yeah, Johnny was the other character, the deacon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's so funny. I was talking with some of the people who played Vampire the Masquerade. Oh, wait, I think you were there with me. You were us. Oh, yeah, but you were inside the house. One of the guys who play, I mentioned about the show and how we're watching it this week or whatever. And one of the other people were like, oh, it's such a great show. I love it. And the other dude's like, I don't really like it because I never finished the movie. I watched like 10 minutes and it's like, oh, these are just dumb vampires. I'm good. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, to a degree, yes, the vampires who you follow are dumb, but they're not like imbeciles, I feel. So there's points where you're like, they're imbeciles. Like Nandor, you could label as an imbecile and you're probably not off like kindred with that. He's pretty on point with that, but there are some things that he knows. Matthew Berry's character, Laszlo, he's pretty close, but he's more of like ignorant in the form of like, I don't care about this other stuff. I only care about what I care for. And Nausea, I don't know what you would label her as, but I enjoy it. But the reason why I think they all fit so well is that you do have a character like Guillermo, who is level-headed and kind of real, like keeps them reeled in. And I think that's why I really like Guillermo a lot, which I did start following him on TikTok. And he's also a very big guy on like going and meeting fans and everything. And that always makes me happy. I'm like, heck yeah, man. That's great.
Yeah, he's such a good dude, and like he does the Geico commercials now.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's been doing the Geico commercials for the last year. Or no, it was like 6 months. Well, no, it could have been. Has it been? It was the start of the Super Bowl when they started doing that ad, if I remember, because I was like, man, that's Harvey. That's Guillermo. Yeah, because it's like the Geico lizard and him talking about how old the lizard is. It's like, so if you're like 100 and some years old, like, why haven't you aged? And he's like, I don't know. It's something stupid like that. You can check out the YouTube video probably. YouTube probably has the commercial up. But I know that like his TikToks are hilarious. Mm-hmm. I love watching this because it's always him with the actor that plays Nandor.
Yeah, it's them doing their own thing.
Yeah, it's great.
I enjoy
it. The other thing I wanted to talk about is the big thing that happens at the end of the season.
Okay.
Guillermo goes to his friend that was turned into a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah.
And says, I'm going to give you this money. Make me a vampire. We'll see. I'm not 100% sold that his buddy's going to allow it or his buddy's going to take the money. Because maybe his buddy's just like, I don't feed on people. And he might feed on something else, like rats or something like that.
Well, no, he feeds on people. He said he feeds on people, but he doesn't steal from his victim because he's like, I'm a vampire, not a thief.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because he works at like a convenience store. Mm-hmm. It looks like a gas station. But yeah, I want to see how this works out because I don't know.
It makes the most sense, though. Like, whenever Guillermo went to him, he's like, you're going to make me a vampire. I was like, yes. I'm surprised it took him this long to think about this, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is a lot of money that Guillermo can give to his friend and get what he's been wanting for so long out of response for it. Now, what I could see happen is his friend tries to manipulate Guillermo and be like, hey, you know, like, technically, I can't just make you a vampire. You have to be my familiar first. So let's make a deal. You'll be my familiar for this long, and then I'll turn you into a vampire, plus the money or whatnot.
That only might ask for more money, too, because, like, he knows how bad Guillermo wants to be a vampire.
Yeah. 100%. Like, all those are possibilities. And, unfortunately, we have to wait a whole another year or more to figure it out.
Yeah.
For it. But...
I think it's, like, July.
Something like that.
I think July is when that happens.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's another year.
Yeah. Not terrible. It's not bad.
There's always shows that we watch that are around this time, too. So, like, it keeps up with things. But yeah. But, yeah, I'm pretty stoked. I was really excited about the season. I'm glad that you liked it, too.
I'm officially to the point where if... In order for them to do something that I don't like, it has to be really, like, bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, nope, not so far. Rafi being all happy.
Oh, no, he probably needs to go outside now. He woke up in the middle of the night. He's like, hey, I need to go outside.
I gotta go outside. Well, Austin, I think we can then just start wrapping it up. Austin, okay. What are we watching next week? Is it your choice, or did something finish?
Nothing has finished yet, but I know of that.
I have to just check She-Hulk.
Yeah, I think She-Hulk ends 2 weeks from now, or a week from now.
Not that. She-Hulk... Episode right. Count.
Well, when you look that up, I'm going to take Ralph out.
Okay. Count. I guess I'm just going to 9 30-minute episodes. It consists of 9 episodes. What? How many episodes are there out now? 5. So we got 4 weeks. Hey, we got 4 weeks of this. All right, so episode 6 is September 22nd, which is this Thursday. So 1, 2, 3. So until October, the week of October 12th, it will be Austin's choice when he gets back on what we're going to watch. I actually don't know because, unfortunately, that is something that we don't really discuss to keep each other kind of like up in the air. I do know what I'm going to make him watch though. All right, Austin. So it is 4 episodes of She-Hulk left. It's 9 episodes. They're on 5. This week is going to be 6. Austin, it's then your choice.
All right. What do you want to watch? I'm going to do something very interesting.
Okay.
I'm going to let you pick between a number between 1 and 3.
2.
Because I have 3 shows.
One. And you know what? Go 3. 3. I was always 3 in school. Do 3. Do
I shouldn't
3.
Have done this. I knew that
do
this was a bad
3.
Idea.
Do 3. Austin, come on. Do 3.
You want to do 3?
Nah, maybe I should go with 2. Is 2 good? Which one's better?
Oh, man. You're killing me.
You know what, Austin? I'll leave it up to you. You pick your favorite one.
No, stop it. Don't want you to do this.
Because it's your pick, Austin.
Okay. Here we go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by its toe. Well, okay.
Skip a few. You have to, my mom told me, you know, 90, skip a few, 99, 100.
Okay. So we are going to do, since it is the spooky season.
Ooh, spooky.
You know, it is getting that time.
We're basically at there, if depending on how many seasons the show has that you're going to pick.
Yeah. So, this show, it was between like 3 shows that I had picked. One was Haunting on Hill House, which you did not pick, and the other one was called The Bear, and it's only 1 season, and that was with Jeremy Allen White.
The Bears.
And the other thing, and it's about like a professional chef, which I was gonna let you do. But this, the other one we're gonna watch, and it has 3 seasons. It is Lock and Key. is Joe Hill's Lock and Key. I actually didn't think, I was thinking about like picking that for a while. There was a number four, which we will get to soon. I think I thought about doing that actually to you because I don't know how you're going to be with this show because it is 80s cringe. Well, it's 80s style stuff. And I don't know. I was going to ask you about this tonight, actually. Is like, have you ever watched the Karate Kid movies? I don't know if you have.
Have I watched the Karate Kid? I feel like I have.
Maybe. It's probably been a long time because we used to watch them when we were. I used to watch them.
Okay. I know I've watched the first one, but I don't remember anything of it because it's not a show that I've watched multiple times. A movie I've watched multiple
times. Yeah.
So I have at least seen it once.
Because the other show I will get around for making you watch is Cobra Kai. Because I think that you would enjoy Cobra Kai, but maybe not, because it is a huge 80s type cheese factor.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, eh. So we're going to do Lock and Key. It is on Netflix. Mama Burkhart is all caught up on Lock and Key. She actually started that when I started it, and we went from there. This was a graphic novel that was done by Joe Hill, which is the son of Stephen King, mind you. And so, yeah, pretty exciting. So it just finished up its final season, which was season 3, about a month ago. So we're going to go with that. So we're going to watch Lock and Key.
All right. So how many seasons? You said three?
Three seasons, and they're 10 episodes each. An hour each, because it's Netflix, you know, of course. So, yeah.
That, we'll I see. Think, would be perfect, because then after we do Lock and Key, then She-Hulk is done.
Yeah.
So, awesome. She-Hulk, heck yeah, man. Yeah. Good choice. Yeah. Good choice, buddy. Good choice, buddy. All right, sounds good. So, next week, we will do Lock and Key Season 1 on Netflix, is it?
Yep.
It's a Netflix? All right, on Netflix. Awesome. Hey, Austin, thanks so much for joining me. In this episode of Bros and Show, I had a great time, and it was a killing good time.
Yeah,
I couldn't come up with a better pun than that. But Austin, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you all so much for stopping by, and thank you all so much for tuning in.